Say, well, Jesus is the Savior, and he died and rose from the dead. I agree. That's the gospel message, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. God raised him from the dead. You believe that, you'll be saved. Well, was that always the message in the Bible? Oh, yeah, that was always the message. Well, how about before Jesus? Oh, they preached leading up to him. They had faith that the Savior would come, Jesus, born in Bethlehem, die, 3 days later, raised from the dead. That's what they believed. They believed all that? Yeah, they believed all that. Well, here, Jesus sent his apostles out. They departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel. Now, did they believe at this point that Jesus was the Savior? Did they believe that? Did they believe that he was going to die and be raised from the dead? Jesus knew that. Did they have a handle on it? Well, they had difficulty with that. We'll find out in this chapter that Jesus asked his apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" And when Peter, it came to him, the Father told him, "You are the Christ." And praise the Lord, Peter, that's right. But they hadn't known that up to this point. They were just trying to figure out, who is this person? And notice that they must have had a degree of spiritual success because they healed everywhere. God was using them. And if they were healing everywhere, they must have been preaching also. Yet as we go through the four Gospels, we know that they were not preaching that Jesus would be crucified and raised from the dead. How do we know that? Well, this chapter tells us as we continue. But, you know, remember that Jesus told them to tell no one. He's the Christ. He said, "I am the Christ. Don't tell anyone." Saying, don't tell anyone that I'm going to be crucified and be raised from the dead. Don't tell anyone. And there was no danger of that because they didn't believe it and they didn't understand it. Peter tried to rebuke Jesus over such things. In Matthew 16, we read that Jesus commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. And from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples, not the public, but his disciples privately, that he must go to Jerusalem and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, this shall not happen." Imagine that. Peter was rebuking Jesus. "You're wrong. You're not going to be crucified." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me." So the 12 apostles, they didn't quite have all their soteriology down. The details of the doctrine of salvation. They didn't quite get it. But they went out to preach the gospel.
This is Pastor Bob Enyard of Denver Bible Church inviting you to visit us this Sunday. Come on out. Now, tonight's Friday night, so Sunday, you only have to remember this for a couple days. Sunday morning, we're at 6200 West Hampton. That's near Hampton and Wadsworth. You can get directions. We're on the Frontage Road. So those who are tuning in right now in Germany, I realize you don't know about the Frontage Road off of Hampton at Wadsworth. But for people in Colorado, they might have some idea, but actually it's a little confusing. So you could call us for directions at 303-463-1707 or get them on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. That's 303-463-1707. Give us a call or check out denverbiblechurch.org.
Service with a weekend. I know.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, I have a political cartoon here sent to us from, what, the Indianapolis Star? Here it is. Not emailed, actually mailed. Now, that's first rate these days. And we've been off the air in Indianapolis for a long time now. But we've got this from one of our listeners via the web, via kgov.com. It's about Arnold. And we've done Arnold-free radio here since the recall has been news. And only on one night have we mentioned Arnold. So this is the second time. The political cartoon, Schwarzenegger is accepting of gays, reads the minister. And of abortion, reads the choir director. And of gun control, reads the pastor's wife. Which means he's the tolerator. Schwarzenegger, the tolerator. All right. Okay, so we've been off the air in Indiana for a while. And so then, therefore, of course, we get more callers from Denver. Like we have on the line right now, Rick from Denver wants to talk about divorce. That's not exactly an exciting topic to lead off a Friday night with. But before we get to that, so we'll try to spice up that call a little bit by letting you all know that Rick from Denver is actually Ed, the racist from Indianapolis. And Ed, just so I'll give a little preview so the audience could know, Ed is the person who's called the Bob and Yurt Live Studios in the last couple of years at least 4,000 times. And he has left messages with the most vulgar four-letter words. He's harassed all of our staff members, including my mother. My poor mother, Connie, has had to put up with them. He'll call in and then beg for forgiveness about how wrong it was and how unchristian he was. And he calls in and he lies about who he is. So, Ed, welcome to the show.
Hello, Bob.
Yes, Ed.
Yes, so you found me out, man. And I want to right now apologize for everything I've done. And if you hold that against me, I wish that in Christian love you can actually forgive me.
Well, is your apology is sincere?
No. But okay. I thought I would say that.
All right, so I'm not going to forgive you, obviously.
Okay, so I want to move on. I wanted to talk about divorce and remarriage. I believe that, and this is just my theory, if men were allowed to have more than one wife, that would dramatically cut down on the divorce rate in America. So how do you feel about that?
I have no feelings, Ed, about your fantasies.
No, listen, I mean, if...
Okay, thanks for your call, Ed. I'll talk to you again sometime. All right. So after 2,000 more calls, we'll put them on the air one more time. Let's go to Montana. Now, we've never been on the air in Montana, never, as far as I can recall. But here we have a call from Gary in Great Falls, Montana. Gary, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, this is my friend Gary.
Yeah.
Gary and your wife, Penny, how are you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful, and I want to talk just briefly about your upcoming trip to Montana.
Yeah, that's right. We have not told the audience anything. We were waiting for you to call in
right. So
you could break the news that Bob and Yurt Live is going to lead a trip up to Montana from Denver, maybe a little caravan, two or three vehicles, to help out with your weekly pro-life protest there.
That's exactly right. You're going to be in Great Falls, Montana on November the 10th. And it's going to be...
October the 10th, right?
October the 10th, sorry.
Right.
And it's going to be a day of pro-life activities around Great Falls. We are a fledgling group that have been at it now for about a year and a half, and we really welcome the opportunity to have some help and to share some fellowship with you and whoever else wants to come up.
Now, Montana... you guys in Great Falls. Great Falls is what, the second largest city in Montana?
It's the second largest.
All right. And you have a Planned Parenthood office there, but that Planned Parenthood does not do abortions, right?
Well, they tested the waters for several years, and three or four years ago, without any opposition, they decided to build a new facility, and it's right off the street, really nice facility, mm-hmm. and they were hoping to do abortions right out of it. They've even admitted that to us. So.
Oh, but they haven't done them at the Planned Parenthood facility yet.
No, they
right?
have not yet, as long as we've been out there picketing and protesting.
They refer – now, Planned Parenthood, this is a business, and like in bigger cities like in Denver, Colorado, they will – and they do this all around the country. They'll centrally locate an abortion mill. And then they put a ring of referral clinics, Planned Parenthood satellite offices, clinics, around the metropolitan area. And typically those Planned Parenthood offices are real close to high schools and college campuses. And so women get pregnant and they go to the referral center. The referral center sends them to the central Planned Parenthood abortion mill, and then that's where the women have their babies killed for about $470, whatever it costs today. And so in your city, Great Falls, Montana, the Planned Parenthood there, it's obviously not cost effective for them to run an abortion mill. So they have their Planned Parenthood office and they refer the women where? Where do the women go that they that are going to have an abortion and kill their baby?
Well, they actually have built this facility as an abortion mill. But they have not gotten a doctor yet, apparently, who's willing to do abortions for them out of that facility. So they continue to refer them to Great Falls OBGYN. They're the abortion providers that we know of in Great Falls.
Okay, Great Falls OBGYN, so the yes. Obstetrics Gynecological Service in town does abortions. And do you know the names of the abortionists there or the doctors who work there?
The doctors that are in that partnership right now are Mark Miles,
all right,
Donald Joyner, and Julie Kuykendall.
Right, Donald Joyner, J-O-Y-N-E-R, and who's the woman?
Kuykendall, Julie, K-U-Y-K-E-N-D-A-L-L, and right. Miles Joyner no longer does abortions, but of course he's still part of the practice. He lost his first marriage as a result of his abortion practices.
Oh, my. And so he says he doesn't do abortions, so it's the other two apparently at this OBGYN office. So if we come out, I mean, we are coming out October 10th, but this is the first time people in the audience are hearing about this. Anyone who would like to drive up, we'll leave 2 or 3 days early, and we'll drive by the Grand Tetons, drive through parts of Yellowstone National Park, and then get to Great Falls. But then we'll visit these places, right?
You bet.
Okay, we'll be right back. Hold on, Gary.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here encouraging you to check out KGOV.com on the web. You'll see our big announcement. You can't even get through to the website until you look at the announcement, and then you could click through to the website to hear our archive shows, the current shows here at Bob Inyart Live. But the announcement is this. We are trying to raise a year's worth of support for the KGov.com website, for the web hosting, some software services, and just a little bit of labor. And that's a total of $8,000 for a year to keep Bob and Yart Live on the web. We got an email and a donation today from a father and son, and they said while they were in Germany, surrounded by godlessness, KGov was their lifeline to sanity. So that's neat, the donation we got yesterday from Austria. Our goal is to hit $4,500 by this evening, and right now we're at $3,925. So we're $575 short of our goal today, $3,925. Our total goal is $8,000. You can call with a pledge and help out, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, or go to kgov.com. Now, we've got Gary from Montana on the line. And, Gary, you and your wife and your kids came down to visit your family here in Colorado. In fact, you guys come down once a year or so. And when you do, you visit us at Denver Bible Church.
That's right. My home is Colorado Springs, and we like to fellowship with believers and attend good churches when we're back in Colorado, and so we drive to Denver in order to make that possible.
Well, and Gary, I got to let you know, it's so encouraging, and you guys have come by once a year for 3-4 years now. We know you guys. You know,
right.
we get to go out to dinner, meet your kids. Every year, of course, there's a new kid, and they're just the most beautiful, wonderful kids anybody's ever seen. And so it's such a pleasure to get to know you and your family that we felt, hey, we want to encourage you guys. We want to return the favor and come to your town and help you and encourage you in your ministry there standing up against child killing. So the plan is this. Now, October 10th, that's a Friday, right?
It's a Friday, yes.
So Friday we're going to go to the Planned Parenthood Center, their clinic. What is that called?
Intermountain Planned Parenthood.
Okay, Intermountain Planned Parenthood. We're going to go there, and then we'll also go to the Great Falls OBGYN office.
Sure.
Right? That'd we'll protest
great.
At both of those sites.
That'd be wonderful.
And so that's a Friday, probably. Now, anybody who wants to join us and come on up, normally, how many people do you have protesting normally?
We have members of four different families that that are regulars. Mm-hmm. So we have, at any given time, 10 to 15 people, I'd say.
That's impressive, actually.
Now we'll be a little bit shorthanded on that Friday because mm-hmm. One of the families will be out of town.
All right. Well, what we're hoping to do is bring at least a dozen people, but who knows?
That's wonderful.
We'll see what happens. And, you know, a loose caravan. People could head up whenever they'd like. You have to leave at least by the 9th, right, to get way up to Great Falls by the 10th. How many hours drive from Denver?
It's 14 hours if you take 1 hour at the McDonald's in Sheridan, Wyoming.
Okay. 14 hours with an hour stop in Sheridan, Wyoming at
right.
the McDonald's. And do they have a playground for the kids to stretch?
They sure do.
I see. That's perfect.
And that's all the way to Colorado Springs, so that shaves another hour.
Oh, all right.
It'd be 13 hours from Denver.
So 13. So 12 if you didn't stop at all.
Right.
Okay. So then we are probably going to leave on that Tuesday, I think. And because we want to drive through the Grand Tetons. Now, winter will be coming on. So, but we just want to be able to see a few of these things, let our kids see some of these things, like just a little bit of Yellowstone. And so we might take a couple days to get there, and then we'll get there probably Thursday night.
That'll be great.
And then Friday, whenever, you know, whoever's coming needs to be there by Friday morning. And then we'll go to the Planned Parenthood office there, and then to the place they do the abortions at Great Falls OBGYN. And then some people may stay over Friday night in the Great Falls area, and others might leave that afternoon. And then by Sunday morning, Gary, I'm hoping to be back in the pulpit at Denver Bible Church.
Right.
So we've got some driving to do there. But, boy, I'm looking forward to this.
So am I. And people in Montana are used to driving long distances because
right.
it's a long way between places. And so if you have any other listeners who are interested in taking a trip over to Great Falls, both to meet you, fellowship, and maybe get some introductory lessons in pro-life activities, protesting, mm-hmm. that type of thing, we're going to have some real talented and experienced people there.
So in other words, other people in Montana.
I think so.
Or Idaho.
Or Idaho, Wyoming, as far as people are interested in coming.
Yeah, it'd be worth the drive. We'll have fun. And we're not going to have a lot of time together, but we're going to have a good time.
Oh, it is. I've already learned that my best time of the week is while I'm protesting. The fellowship is just wonderful with like-minded people standing out.
You know what, Gary, that is so true. Our pro-life protesters are such dear friends. And the commitment level in the friendships is just extraordinary, and whether it's on the protest line or in life. And it's the kind of people, you know, the saying, joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, yourself. Well, when you're at a protest, when you're trying to stop an abortion, you're not doing it for yourself. There's just no way. There's right. about a zillion other things you could be doing. So when God said to love your neighbor as yourself, this is your neighbor who's about ready to kill her child, and a child who's about ready to be killed, an abortionist who's about ready to make more money killing another baby. And so the Christians that go out to do something, you know, they're all kinds, shapes, sizes. Some of them are a bit peculiar. Some of them are absolutely wonderful. But there's just that love of their neighbor and the love for God.
Right. And, you know, doing right is always very rewarding. Mm. So even though you're doing it for somebody else, it's extremely rewarding work. As a matter of fact, when I'm in Colorado Springs, I like to meet up with an elderly couple that protests regularly in front of Planned Parenthood in Colorado Springs when they're killing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just like to, that's my hometown, I'd just like to shame that whole place because except for this elderly couple, there are no Protestants
no evangelical Christians in Colorado Springs, of all places, with the capital of the National Christian Ministries
in
the country.
The epicenter of Christian organizations
yeah.
in this country.
And nobody cares to go to the Planned Parenthood where they're killing kids in Colorado Springs except for the Harrisons, right? That's who does
right.
it.
That's them. And they're in their 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God bless them. It's a real challenge for them to get up cold mornings. And they drive quite a way. They live actually in a neighboring town.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to make that commitment every day, but they're the only ones.
Yeah, isn't that something? Colorado Springs, the national capital of Christian ministry, and there's virtually no evangelical Christians who care enough even to go to the Planned Parenthood.
When they're killing. Yep. Right.
That does shame the entire city, the Christian community of Colorado Springs. And in Denver, you know, Denver's got at least more of a functioning pro-life community, and we save dozens and dozens of kids every year. I mean, kids who are alive today. And for years, kids now who are growing up, kids who are adults by now, because of the constant Christian presence at Planned Parenthood in Denver. So, all right, Gary, I can't wait to see you guys.
Bob, I'd like to leave my number in case anybody is interested in joining us.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful. All right.
It's 406 area code 268-9507.
All right.
And once I get a final number, we'll finalize some arrangements try to make it as wonderful time for everybody who's interested in participating as possible.
Yeah, now we'll probably have a hard time figuring out how many people will go because things like this tend to be, you know, impromptu.
Right.
But it would be good if you could give us the name of an economical hotel or motel in town. That would be handy.
Well, our place is probably about the cheapest.
Oh, your home.
Yes.
Isn't that nice? That's extraordinary. Well, boy, I appreciate that, Gary. We'll Well, let me think now. It depends on how many of our kids we bring. I don't know if you could.
Oh, we'll just start rolling out the sleeping bags.
All right, that sounds real
good. All
right,
Bob.
So, Gary, thank you so much for calling in.
Bob, we're sure looking forward to it.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, this is neat. Montana is a beautiful state. If you've never been there, just driving through Wyoming is extraordinary. Jackson Hole, Wyoming, the Grand Tetons are just stunning to view. And then, you know, by the time we get to Yellowstone, there certainly could be enough snow to change sightseeing plans. But usually, you know, they have those thermal ponds and Old Faithful, and they've got just the most extraordinary things there. And some of that ground is hot. So I'm sure there'll be some things that we'll be able to see and enjoy on our way to Great Falls, Montana. So if you'd like to come along, I'm really hoping some of our pro-life regulars in Denver, like, well, Jason Troyer, I'm hoping he could come along. Ken and Joe Scott. Now, I don't know if they could come along. Joe Scott's full-time pro-lifer. Ken is also, but he also works to support his family. So we'll have to see who could come along, but you're cordially invited if you'd like to add to the Christian voice in Great Falls, Montana, to say stop killing kids and come along. It'll be a time of neat fellowship, and hopefully we will, of course, hopefully be effective in some way. All right. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. The photo on the cover of the Rocky Mountain News today takes almost the entire front page, and it's a little boy standing in front of a memorial for his father, who was killed by Muhammad Atta and the Islamic terrorist 2 years ago on 9/11. And he wrote a handmade sign. He drew a picture of his dad, and he wrote on it, "I love you, Daddy." Just a little boy. I don't see his age. It looks like he's maybe five. Maybe the age of our son, Zachary. We have three toddlers and four big kids. And when I see people suffer, and especially kids suffer, innocent people suffer. And I see that, and pictures like that, they're lodged in my memory, and I can't get rid of them. So when I see stories about Islamic terrorism, and when I hear liberals oppose the war on terror, and I hear Christians who are confused and they don't know how to even explain or justify the war on terror, I can feel it in my gut, because in my gut, I recognize that the hesitancy, the confusion, the opposition to moral clarity leads to many kids suffering and many adults suffering and many families destroyed and lives destroyed. And it's we Christians who have the answers. So we have to be more bold. We need more wisdom. We need to strategize better. And just only if we could get Arnold elected to governor in California, then things will get better, don't you think? Yeah, because, you know, Arnold, well, he's not exactly a hardcore conservative, but, you know, he is pro-abortion. Oh, wait a minute, that's no good. He is pro-homosexuality. Wait a minute, that's no good. He is against gun rights. Oh, wait a minute, that's no good. We'll be right back. Bob Enyard here. For those tuning in via KGov.com, thank you so much that we already are at $3,925. Today is September 12th. Our goal is to hit $8,000 by September 22nd. And our goal for today is to reach $4,500. And the weekend is coming up, and this really might slow down. So I've got a bit of consternation here, but I'm hoping that we're going to hit this. So $4,500 by tonight, that's another $575. We need your help. Bob Enyard here, live commercial break. Howdy to people tuning in Denver via KLTT on AM 670. Hey, I'd like to tell you about the Plot Manuscript. It's our overview of the whole Bible. And if you study the Bible, if you read the Bible, you go to Sunday school, and there are a lot of things in the Bible that seem confusing, unclear. Why does it say things the way it does? Why are all these doctrinal debates raging among Christians? Well, it's a really good way to begin to get an overview of a topic. That's the best way to begin. If you dive right into the details, that might just be bewildering. And if you study the Bible and you've never worked at first getting an overview, it might remain bewildering for your whole life. And somebody goes to church for 40 years, and by the end of their life, they feel like they never really understood the Bible. They got a lot of verses that stand out and some parables and stories, but how does it all go together? That's the focus of Bob Enyart Live and our ministry, and it's in a manuscript called The Plot, or you can get it on audio tape, The Plot Album. So give us a call, 1-800-8-ENYART, or go to kgov.com. One 800 8 NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. While crime's going down, right, nationwide. In fact, the violent crime index has improved in the last 2 years that we have complete records for. Well, actually, violent crime, the index went down, except for murder nationwide, which went up. When murder goes up, that's an F because it's already at epidemic numbers. And in Denver, we have two bodies that have been found in a yard in metropolitan Denver. We'll talk about that by obviously now someone who's a mass murderer who is focusing on killing prostitutes, but not only prostitutes. And then we have another family where the wife turned up missing back on July 24th, and the police have now for a second time searched the husband's home. A very sad story. They now have found the wife's body buried in a shallow grave alongside U.S. 6. So, but first, the story of the two bodies that were found in a backyard. This is in the Park Hill area of Denver. Police dug two bodies from a backyard after the killer, arrested for another crime, admitted to these murders and told the police where he buried the bodies. So Park Hill, that's Denver. That's a neighborhood in Denver, and it's right along the Denver City Park. And by the way, the Denver City Park is about two blocks from the Planned Parenthood abortion mill at 20th and Vine in Denver. Two blocks to the east is the Denver City Park. And so two blocks to the east, you kill people and they'll arrest you and try you for murder. Two blocks west of that, if you're killing the youngest of people, little boys and girls, you get paid for it, and the police will protect you. So it's amazing what can happen in two blocks. All right, so now the police have uncovered these two dead bodies, and the police believe there could be at least four more dead women from what they have heard from this Richard R.P. White. His friends and acquaintances all call him R.P., R.P. White. He's 30 years old. He's confessed to strangling at least six prostitutes. And he admitted this after he was arrested Wednesday, in the, 2 days ago, for shooting his friend, Jason Reichert, 27 years old. He shot and killed him, shot him in the head while he was trying to steal his pickup truck at his Aurora home. So the killings, the murders, I don't like when the newspapers refer to murder as killings. The murders date from 1998, according to the Aurora police. Aurora is working with other agencies to find more victims around the state of Colorado. The Colorado CBI, the Colorado Bureau of Investigations, is looking into three unsolved murders in southern Colorado within the past year, all involving prostitutes. So the case was broken, at least for the two who were uncovered in the Park Hill area of Denver. The case was broken when White, R.P. White, shot and murdered Reichert, his friend. He shot him in the head while trying to steal his pickup truck. That happened in Aurora. White confessed to a series of murders, including the two women that he said he had killed and buried outside of the house where he used to live. They unearthed the first body in the morning on Wednesday. It was a small, well, no, actually yesterday, sorry, Thursday. They uncovered the first body. It was a small Hispanic woman stuffed into a dark brown duffel bag. She was tucked into a fetal position and then buried about 3.5 feet down in the side yard. And the police haven't guessed what her age is, but they said she was killed around about a year ago. And then the police turned up the second body later at 3:30 yesterday afternoon, another apparently Hispanic woman a few steps away from where the first body was found. And the second body was not buried in a bag, just buried. So that's news out today in Denver. And this guy, will he get the death penalty? I doubt he'll get the death penalty, right? After all, he's only strangling prostitutes, right? Why execute him? We've had the most brutal murders in Colorado, and people have escaped the death penalty. In the Bible, God says that every convicted murderer shall surely be put to death, everyone. And in the New Testament, Jesus advocated the death penalty. So did the apostles, like John, for example, and Paul. They advocated the death penalty. Even angels speaking from heaven, recorded in the book of Revelation, they advocate the death penalty. And it's a nightmare. That I talked about this little kid, this five-year-old boy, whatever his age is, who did the memorial, "I love you, Daddy," to his father, killed by Islamic terrorist. And when I see Christians or liberals, weak liberal Christians or Democratic presidential wannabes opposing the war on terror, the way my mind works, not everybody's as intuitive as other people. You know, some people are more sensory oriented and they need an unlimited supply of details before coming to a conclusion. I actually exaggerated that. And some people are intuitives, two or three bits of information, and they jump to a conclusion. And so intuitives tend to envision outcomes without even trying. It's just there. So when I hear people arguing against a swift and brutal war to find and kill the terrorist, what I see is I see the kids who are suffering. Wives who are devastated that their husbands were killed. Children who are killed. I could just see it all. There it is. And these women who are prostitutes, whose lives were already ruined because of the acceptance, not only by the liberals in America, but by the Christian community, the acceptance of legalized sexual immorality, like pornography and homosexuality and fornication. Christians have accepted all this as it should be legal. That's the Christian position. In Colorado Springs, where the capital of evangelical Christianity in America, and no evangelical Christians go to the Planned Parenthood as a stand against the children who are slaughtered there every Saturday. None, except for June Harris and her husband. That's it? Wow. And it's the same national ministries who have accepted pornography. Well, pornography needs to be legal. That's the Christian position in America. Did you know that? And fornication and homosexuality. That's the Christian position, that these things should be legal. We're broken. We don't know right from wrong anymore. And so because of the sexual immorality that's promoted by our culture and defended as legal by the Christian leadership in America, even moral majority, right? Even moral majority says that pornography should be legal. That's run by a Christian, Bob Peters. Morality and Media. Sorry, I got the name wrong. Morality and Media. Virtually every national ministry accepts the legalization of pornography, fornication, sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, and where will it lead eventually? And so these women have had their lives destroyed, and because there's no swift and painful death penalty, men become murderers, so they lived miserable lives, and then they were butchered. And that's a result of the ideas that are prominent in our society. And that's why here at Bob and Yurt Live, sometimes we get angry at liberals and Christians who lack wisdom and spend more time doing who knows what, reading the comics, than understanding the Bible. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-836-9278 in Compton, California. Johnny, speak your mind.
Bob, how are you tonight?
Doing well, sir.
Hey, good. Bob, I wanted to ask you about the stories that we see and the stories of Jesus and Mary with ancient Egypt, with, I believe it was Isis and some baby. I had a friend mention this to me, and
yeah,
he was telling me ideas from the ancient world. Also, the law, they say, came partially from the Hammurabic, or the Code of Hammurabi, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, the Code of
Hammurabi.
Code of Hammurabi,
right.
which I've read some years ago. It's fascinating, actually, to read it. Those are typical arguments. Also, that the flood, Noah's flood, is that story occurs in other cultures. And so, therefore, they say that the Jews took pieces of religious thought and stories from other cultures and wove them together to their own, to form their own religious views. And what actually happened is the exact opposite, that the Bible records God's revelation to mankind. For example, from the Garden of Eden, God taught men that he required a blood sacrifice. And all that throughout the whole Old Testament, the priestly sacrifice, the shedding of the animal's blood, the Passover lamb, all of it pointed to the time when Jesus Christ would be crucified and his blood would be shed. So while the whole world, the ancient pagan world, had animal sacrifices, it was common, none of them understood why, but the story of the Bible explains why, because God himself became a man and sacrificed, paid with his blood and his life for our sin so that we could be justly forgiven.
Bob, this friend said that the code of Hammurabi...
Hammurabi, yeah.
Hammurabi came about around 7,000 B.C.
Well, that's not true, but when you get to... ancient cultures, it gets difficult, of course, to date them. But there's no living thing in the world, like trees, for example, or coral reefs that are 9,000 years old. There's no history of tree rings that can get us back to 9,000 years old. And the Bible seems to indicate that human history began around 4,000 B.C., but the Bible definitely doesn't peg any exact year or extremely specific date. It just gives us a ballpark. So I would say that's an exaggeration. But the Code of Hammurabi could have come within a couple centuries before Moses. That's possible. What's interesting is that the skeptics told us they used to mock the idea that Moses wrote Genesis in Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy, because they said back then the human race didn't even know how to write. There was no writing. And that's how ignorant the skeptics were, because they believed that we were apes, that we climbed out of trees and crawled out of caves, and we just started civilization, but we were created in the image of God. And so we knew how to read and write and speak from the dawn of human history, when Adam and Eve were created. And so, of course, when Moses was alive, men knew how to read and write. And so the skeptics, when they make specific claims, very often archaeology and history has been able to disprove them. But you got to take the claims one by one. And the Code of Hammurabi very well may have preceded the Mosaic Law. But the Mosaic Law is a revelation from God, and the Code of Hammurabi is the law of the land as it was at that time. And there are some similarities. For example, murder was against the law, and kidnapping and stealing. So there are some similarities, but there are also extraordinary differences.
Okay, so it's... As far as you're concerned, there's no, I should wrap. If you're discussing this.
Yeah. Hey, Johnny, I want to let you know your cell phone is breaking up. And
oh, no.
Yeah, but go ahead. Give it another shot. Your last point.
Okay. What would you do for it as an argument? Would you just totally disclaim the argument based on... They have a couple of similarities, and
well, it's fun. Just go on the web and print out a copy of Hammurabi's Code and read it. And for your friends, probably will not know where it overlaps with biblical ideas and where it does not, because they probably don't know the Bible. But we Christians, we study the Bible and secular history, and so we know both sides of the story. And we're able to put it together better.
Okay. And you firmly believe that this story with Isis and this child out of the Nile River, how that resembles the one of Moses, you firmly believe that did not happen before any of the prophecies.
Well, that would be... Now I've heard of that story, but I bet you it's been 25 years since I recall looking at it, and so I'm foggy on the details of that story. But generally, in the Garden of Eden and for centuries afterward, God revealed things to man. He had prophets even before Noah's flood, and after the flood, and so there are basic truths that have worked their way through, humanity and have been perverted. And they're early stories in the Bible. In fact, the Bible stories up to the Tower of Babel, some of those stories can be seen in ancient Chinese pictographs, like the pictures, symbols for Satan and for good and evil and for a boat. It's just amazing. Like, you know, Noah's boat had eight humans on it, and this picture for a boat in Chinese pictograph is a vessel with eight human mouths or eight humans on it. So eight mouths to feed in Noah's ark, that's their symbol for a boat. And temptation is a garden with two trees in the garden. That's the ancient Chinese symbol pictograph for temptation. So we see that it's not that the ancient Chinese had the gospel or the Bible, but the Bible stories influenced their culture. And that's happened throughout the world, especially Noah's flood, which all of humanity came from Noah's three kids. And the further we get with genetic science, the more we can show that, yes, the human race came from a first Eve just 6,000 years ago or so, and maybe we'll be able to show that it's all divided into three groups from Noah's three kids, except for the fact that one of the groups will be from Noah's wife and her son, Ham, who committed incest with her, and she bore the Canaanites. So that's actually a fourth, a perversion, really. But anyway, Johnny, these arguments, they've been around for a long time, and they're worth taking and they're worth evaluating. And if there was substance to them, then we'd have to sit back and say, whoa, what's going on here?
Okay.
But
the code and discuss it with my buddy once again.
Yeah, it would be fun to read it. I remember when I read it years ago, I went through and I highlighted the similarities with the Mosaic Law. And the Mosaic Law, when the Bible says don't kidnap, don't murder, don't steal, the message of the Bible is that God made us and he put a conscience in us so that we know right from wrong. And so when the Mosaic Law reinforces these basic laws of morality, it's not surprising to find them replicated elsewhere. That's not a big surprise.
Okay.
So, hey, thank you, Johnny.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. I appreciate you for calling in. And we just got a $50 donation. So that brings us within $475 of tonight's goal. So that's pretty neat. Tonight's goal is $4,500. So we're within $475 of hitting the goal. We need your help. If you can help, thank you so much. Hey, our friends just got back from Europe. They went to the Czech Republic and to Austria. And they told us some interesting stories. And the most interesting must have been their time at the Frankfurt airport. And could I say who this is on the air? It's Art and Alice. And Art's a tall guy. He's, what is he, 6'5"? And he was asked by the airport security. They said, we are testing our dogs, our bomb-sniffing dogs, and we're wondering if you would be so kind as to put these explosives in your pocket. I could just picture Art looking at the guy like, are you crazy? Anyway, they were serious. They brought him into the security office at the airport and said, we need to conduct tests, and we'd like you to put this in your pocket, and then we'll see if we'll bring our dog through the terminal and see if he could spot you. So Art, he's always up for helping out. And so he said, all right, sure, let's do it. And he was sitting there at the gate with the explosives in his pocket. And here comes the bomb-sniffing dog. And he said the guy who was you know, holding the dog's leash and managing the dog, brought the dog to each person. And the guy who had the dog knew who Art was. Now, it should have been a double-blind test, right, where the guy with the dog didn't know who had the explosives. But the guy knew, and the dog came along, sniffed each person sitting down in the row, came to Art, sniffed this pocket where the explosives was, and just kept moving right along and got down to the end of that row. And then the trainer brought the dog back and brought the dog to Art. And so the dog, the woof. And so, okay, they found the explosives. Now, if they didn't know Art had them to begin with, probably they wouldn't have found them. But Art said to the guy, "What happened? Why didn't it work?" And the guy said, "Oh, it would have worked, but there was probably a breeze at that time." And they're inside the terminal at the gate. There's no breeze. They're indoors. But anyway, you know, it's neat to try law enforcement. And we try everything we can try. We try to be creative. And dogs sometimes work. The media has greatly exaggerated what dogs can do in the past, bloodhounds finding bodies, especially here in Colorado. We had a real whopper of an exaggeration a few years back. But dogs are useful and they need to be trained. And in Europe, they don't have as much money to spend to be as proficient and as professional as we have here in America regarding criminal justice. They're taking a shot at it, and we hope Frankfurt improves their bomb-sniffing abilities. That was the first test. First test got an F. But they'll get better, I hope. All right. So, the dinner on the 20th. Today's the 12th. So a week from tomorrow night, Colorado Right to Life is having a fundraising dinner. Actually, it's almost more a dinner to let the community know all the fabulous things going on at Colorado Right to Life and what they're doing. So if you come on out, the guest speaker is Jennifer O'Neill, who starred in about the most despicable movie made in that period of time, the summer of 42, which one movie helped to destroy countless lives. That one movie back then. One movie helped to destroy countless lives. Young men. Just unbelievable. I've asked other guys about that movie, and they've concurred that that was about the worst movie for destroying young men of its time. But Jennifer O'Neill has obviously repented from a life of immorality and now is a spokeswoman for Silent No More, women who have been injured by abortion. So it's going to be a fascinating evening. I think the MC is Dan Kaplis, right, from KOA. Yeah, and he's always great at pro-life functions. Don't ask him about OJ, but he's great about fighting abortion. And what else? We have a table there, and I'd love it if you can join us. We'll fill up the Bob and Yurt Live table, hopefully, just 10 people. We've already filled up a table for Denver Bible Church. And Ken and Joe Scott have about filled up their second table. And now Bob and Yurt Live, we've got a few seats left. And it's $50 a plate. So if you'd like to come, call us up, 1-800-8-N-YARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. $50, that's it. And you get a meal, no less. You got to let us know if you want chicken, salmon, or vegetarian. But we'll have fun. We'll sit at the table. And also, if you want to go to Montana in October, give us a call for that also. We'd like to have you along. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.